11. Possession. Watercolor. So there was a girl. What I've guessed, and what the history books imply, is that she was unlucky enough to have been sired by a cruel man. He beat both wife and daughter and abused them in other ways. Bright Etempus is called, among other things, the god of justice. Perhaps that was why he responded when she came into his temple, her heart full of unchildlike rage. "I want him to die," she said, or so I imagine. "Please, great lord, make him die." You know the truth now about Etempus. He is a god of warmth and light, which we think of as pleasant, gentle things. I once thought of him that way, too. But warmth uncooled burns. Light undimmed can hurt even my blind eyes. I should have realized, we all should have realized, he was never what we wanted him to be. So when the girl begged the Bright Lord to murder her father, he said, "Kill him yourself." And he gifted her with a knife perfectly suited to her small, weak child's hands. She took the knife home and used it that very night. The next day, she came back to the Bright Lord, her hands and soul stained red, happy for the first time in her short life. "I will love you forever," she declared. And he, for a rare once, found himself impressed by mortal will. Or so I imagine. The child was mad, of course. Later events proved this. But it makes sense to me that this madness, not mere religious devotion, would appeal most to the Bright Lord. Her love was unconditional, her purpose undiluted by such paltry considerations as conscience or doubt. It seems like him, I think, to value that kind of purity of purpose, even though, like warmth and light, too much love is never a good thing. I woke an hour before dawn and immediately went to the door to listen for my captors. I could hear people moving about in the corridors beyond my door, and sometimes I caught snatches of the light's wordless soothing song, more morning rituals. If they followed the pattern of previous mornings, I had an hour, maybe more, before they came. Quickly, I set to work, pushing aside the room's table as quietly as I could. Then I rolled aside the small rug to bare the wooden floor, which I inspected carefully. It was smoothly sanded, lightly finished, dusty. It felt nothing like a canvas. Neither had the bricks at the South Promenade, though, the day I'd killed the order keepers. My heart pounded as I went through the room, collecting the items I'd marked or hidden as potentially useful. A piece of cheese and a nami pepper from a previous meal. Chunks of melted fake fern wax from the candles, a bar of soap. I had nothing that felt or smelled like the color black, though, which was frustrating. I had a feeling I would need black. I knelt on the floor and picked up the cheese and took a deep breath. Keter and Paitya had called my drawing a doorway. If I drew a place I knew and opened that doorway again, would I be able to travel there? Or would I end up like the order keepers, dead in two places at once? I shook my head, angry at my own doubts. Carefully, clumsily, I sketched Art Row. The cheese was more useful as texture than color, because it felt rough, like the cobbles I'd walked across for the past 10 years. I yearned for black to outline the cobbles, but forced myself to do without. The candle wax ran out first, too soft, but between it and the soap, I managed to suggest a table, and beyond that, another. The pepper ran out next, its juice stinging my fingers as I ground it to a nub, trying to depict the tree's green scent in the air. Finally, though I used my own saliva and blood to stretch it and properly color the cobbles, the cheese crumbled to bits in my fingers. To get my blood, I'd had to scratch off the scab from the previous night's bloodletting. Inconveniently, I was not menstruating. When it was done, I sat back to gaze at my work, grimacing at the ache in my back and shoulders and knees. It was a crude, small drawing, only 2 handspans across since there hadn't been enough paint to do more. More impressionistic than I liked, though I had created such drawings before and seen the magic in them nevertheless. What mattered was what the depiction evoked in the mind and heart, not how it looked. And this one, however crude, had captured Art Row so well that I felt homesick just looking at it. But how to make it real, and then how to step through? I put my fingers on the edge of the drawing awkwardly. Open? No, that wasn't right. At the South Promenade, I had been too terrified for words. I closed my eyes and said it with my thoughts. Open. Nothing. I hadn't really thought that would work. Once, I had asked Madding how it felt for him using magic. I'd had a bit of his blood in me at the time, making me restless and dreamy. That time, the only magic that had manifested in me was the sound of distant, atonal music. I hadn't forgotten the melody, but I'd never once hummed it aloud. All my instincts warned against doing that. I'd been disappointed, wishing for something more grandiose, and that had gotten me wondering what it felt like to be magic, not just taste it in dribs and drops. He shrugged, sounding bemused.
Like walking down the street feels for you. What do you think?
Walking down the street, I had informed him archly, is nothing like flying into stars, or crossing 1,000 miles in one step, or turning into a big blue rock whenever you get mad.
Of course it's the same, he'd said. When you decide to walk down a street, you flex the muscles in your legs, right?